A Tricky Kid Media original presentation distributed by iHeartRadio.
K-pop fans, rejoice! Looking for a place to hear your fave K and J-pop groups? Or to discover new ones? Look no further, cause this is K-pop. Hosted by your fave Blink and K-pop obsessive, DJ Tricky Kid.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of This is K-Pop. I'm your host as always, DJ Tricky Kid, aka Roy Turner. I'm going to disclaim right now, this is probably not going to be the most fun episode that we've ever done, but I think that you will learn something along the way, and isn't that what we all need right now? The reason why I tell you this is because it seems like every time I enter, or I guess what you would say, land on Luna Island, problems arise. Problems either of your making, my making, whatever, but problems just the same. And I hate that because I'm a massive fan of all the girls in the Luna circle, especially the ones that make up the Odd Eye circle, and of course Chu and then everybody else. But I guess the main thing I would like to say is that I'm most saddened by the fact is that you're probably noticing that there is an absence here. There is normally someone that does the show with me. I'm not going to mention her by name just because I don't want to bring any more embarrassment to her by anything that I've ever said or done. But also because I'm also so largely disappointed and hurt in a sense. Because in life, we don't really know who our friends are. At least we think we do. At least at this age. I'm 50. So when I invest in somebody at this age, now back in the day, I would invest in the wrong people all the time. That's a kind of that's how we learn, right? You know, you invest in the wrong people and then they screw you over and you're like, why did I ever, how could I have ever? But at this stage, it's kind of like, you know better. So when somebody, and I can't say I got screwed over, but I'm just so disappointed that if anything came of this, that I lost a friend that I really thought was my friend, that somebody that I invested in and cared for and gave a platform to, and just really went out of my way to just really try to be just, you know, family to these people. And I can't speak for her husband, but I'm assuming, of course, he would side with her because I haven't spoken to him. But let me tell you what I'm getting at. And what's funny is that Luna and the dysfunction of Luna is actually how we met. So I've been doing this show now for almost 2 years, which is pretty crazy to think about. And I think it was early last year, whatever, when Luna kind of fractured. And there was this group consisting of members of Luna called Lucymbal, right? Okay. And Lucymbal was, of course, is, I'm going to murder these names, and I hate that, like Haijin, Geojin, Vivi, Gowon, and Haiju. And now I didn't know anything about this. I know it's my job to, but I was very new to this. And I went to the Lucymbal show to cover it, and I was confused, like anybody should have been or would have been, because I thought I was, as when the show was announced, I was going to see Luna. And I did my best to kind of do some research on Luna and things like that. And suddenly it's like, it's no longer Luna. It's this thing called Lucymbal, and it's not a concert. It's some sort of opening ceremony, whatever. And at that point, I'd already had covered quite a few, even though I said it was new. But I'd covered, you know, like Dreamcatcher, ITZY, a couple Blackpink shows. But I didn't know anything about the horrors that those poor girls had gone through dealing with whatever it was called, blockchain or Blockberry, whatever the fuck it was. And so I go to the show, and keep in mind, like I said, I've already have seen, like I said, Dreamcatcher and ITZY and Blackpink just fucking kill it. And now I go to this show and there's like nobody there. And I was late, so I missed the two opening numbers. So I didn't know that they had already had performed. And they just talked for like 30 minutes, like 30 or 40 minutes. I was just like looking around kind of going, are these girls going to, like, you know, perform? Like what's what? Like I'm confused, not critical, just confused. Yep. And unlike all the other, like I said, like a half a dozen shows I had covered, suddenly if you speak anything negative, holy shit, it's like saying that Taylor Swift is, you know, whatever. Suddenly the Swifties are going to attack. And the funny thing is, the girl I'm talking about that does the show with me, actually, this is how we met. She came to my rescue, in a sense, because I was confused. I was like, hey, is Luna and Lucimble like two separate things? Like, what am I in for here? Because it was confusing. The advertising was, and I think it was purposely confusing, because I think that what they originally had something, and then by the time the tour started, they had something else, and they had to kind of scramble. Now, I will say one thing is that despite of all that, Lucimble's Sensitive was actually my favorite song last summer. It's still one of my favorite K-pop songs. I love it. I think it's amazing. But that show performance really wasn't up to the other shows that I had seen. But I had no idea what these poor girls had gone through, like I said, with Blackberry, and everyone has their sympathy, as they should have. And anyway, so this girl kind of bails me out, and she kind of explains to me, you know, what's up. And while I'm at the show, I'm just kind of like, hey, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. And they were unrelentingly just ugly to me. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's... And then she explained to me that there's this whole other dark side to K-pop, and these fans are so obsessive that they kind of lose their minds and lose their sense of clarity, or even, I don't know, common sense or whatever you have you. It just becomes this kind of tunnel vision of cult-like fervor. And I was like, all right, well, that was kind of a surprise. And so anyway... So we have, and so I invited her to come do the show, and she did, and it was great. And then I met her husband, who kind of comes to go to more of the shows, like, without her. And because she's only really interested in just Luna or anything Luna adjacent. And finally, and her favorite, of course, is the solo artist from the Luna group, of course, Chu. So the only times I've ever have been actually in her presence in person, because they live out in New Mexico, was when Chu came last December, and then, of course, over this summer. And when they were here, man, like, I mean, I did my best to show them around town, and me and my friend, my other K-pop friend, David, we, you know, took them out to dinner and have a really great time. And I really like these people. I really adore them, actually. And I look forward to when we get to do the shows together and everything else. And so anyway, she was obliging me by coming on and doing non-Luna stuff. So anyway, so what happened was at, you know, let's see, how many shows since then? God, let's see. The first Chu show was in December. Since then, oh my God, like, I had this insane summer where we covered everybody from Mamamoo to Tribe, G-Idol, Stacy. God, I just, there's so many. I can't even, you know, twice. earlier this year, of course, in Vegas. And my God, let me see how many, you know, VVZ and Secret Number and just so many of you. You should check out these shows that we've done. And that's like just the tip of the freaking iceberg, man. And anyway, well, so now it's time, or in another Luna vehicle back at earlier this year was Odd Eye Circle that I thought was great. Anyway, so now it's time for Artemis. And that's the focus, of course, of today's show. ARTMS, which consists of, I told you, I already said their names and I already murdered them, I'm sure. Anyway, and I go to the show, and what's strange is that a lot of times these K-pop shows, they're clearly not dialed into the local thing. I mean, this, I think this show was aligned with Live Nation. But the choices of venues are always kind of odd. Like a show like this, as a local person, you already know exactly where that show should be. So when it's a place that you like, that, like, what? Like, it automatically brings up the question mark, and you realize how out of touch. So Chew had come to the Music Hall of Fair Park. This is the only one where they have like Broadway shows. There was nobody there. And this show was a little more populated. But again, still an odd choice of venue. I would say that something like this probably should have still been held out in Fort Worth at maybe at Will Rogers, Auditorium or Coliseum, or even, I don't know, you know, maybe even like they've been doing some stuff at the Southside Ballroom. This show could have easily had been there. So it just, you can just tell that there's a disconnect there, and that's important to mention. But, you know, I got some familiarity with the building. I've shot there a million times. And I said I was just there, for Chew not long ago. So anyway, so I go to the show. I'm excited about the show. I'm been looking forward to it. I really enjoyed Odd Eye Circle and anticipated no issues. Now, and keep in mind, like I said, when we covered twice out in Vegas earlier this year, I got there early. Everybody was so cool and like coming up to me and handing me friendship bracelets and homemade stickers. And it was just this, it reminded me of the punk rock that I grew up with. It was just this very DIY, do-it-yourself celebration of just, you know, I don't know, man. It was beautiful. It was just like people were coming up to me and just handing me all this really wonderful things they had made themselves, which I was so impressed with. And I don't know what the fuck is happening with Luna or the Artemis crowd or whatever, but this was not it. This was not the Twice crowd or the other shows I've enjoyed. It was just this very toxic environment. And so much so that, like, you know, again, I know I'm older and there's this whole thing of like, you know, I'm starting to understand that, you know, people don't really like older people at these shows. Well, fuck you, man. I'll go to any goddamn show I want to go to. You're not some fucking gatekeeper just going to keep me away from something that brings me joy. You know, not to mention it's my job to go. So fuck you. All right. You're not some, you know, they feel like, I mean, I heard this word the other day called netizens. That's not a fucking word. That's a word that you or the fucking K-pop world has invented so you can police people. You won't be policing me. I goddamn guarantee you that. All right. You don't like, you know, I'm not going to do anything that's going to make you not want me there. Okay. But apparently, something happened at Artemis that did, and I will take the fucking L on this. Like I said, and I have a prepared statement that's on YouTube that I'm going to actually cut to and let you hear. It's a little more of a condensed version because the one on YouTube is done for you to see. This one is about 9 minutes long. This one's about four. That's just designed for you to hear. So let me get to it. So anyway, and I will talk about the show as well because I thought the show was great, but I thought that Odd Eye Circle was better. In fact, the moments that when it was kind of like just the three girls from Odd Eye Circle was my favorite part of the show. Like there's just those songs to me are just better and everything and that unit gels better. All right. So I get to the show, like I said, and I talk about this in my statement. Let me say this. I normally, because I'm working, I'm not going to drink on the job until after the job is done. So usually when I go to any show, and I mentioned this in my statement, I claim my credentials. I usually bring in my DSLR camera, go to the photo pit, and I shoot like three songs, and then I get my notes together. And then, you know, let's say the show's 2 hours long. Let's say we're an hour and 20 minutes in. Okay, cool. I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of good. And then now I can kind of relax and maybe go grab a beer if I feel like it. I don't always do it, but sometimes. But at K-pop shows, you can't do that. Nobody drinks. Nobody is of age to drink. So the bar closes literally like 20 minutes. I've been to shows for a K-pop show where I got there, saw a couple of numbers until they started doing that little talking thing that they do between stages. And thought, all right, I'll grab a drink. Only to find out that the bar closed like 20 minutes into the show. So I have to just grab a beer. Not that it's important. It's not. I'm not like some fucking alcoholic. But, you know, I want to be able to relax later on. So I have to grab a beer and just kind of nurse it at these things. And I don't have my camera bag to put it in, right? So anyway, so what happens is that, you know, because I can't bring my DSLR, I'm kind of bouncing around trying to get some good footage and everything else. And we'd gotten almost to the end of the show, and I just didn't get it this time. I just didn't get any good footage. And there were all these people in front of me, and I'm a tall guy, but no matter what, it seemed like I could just hold my hands, like literally extend them to the top. And I was only still getting back at the heads. So I looked to my right, and I saw, because I'm on like on the far right side, all the way almost to the, to the aisle. And I look up, and there's this little tiny little crawl space, literally all the way to the end. It has about three or four steps. There's no stage access or anything, of course. And, you know, I thought, well, gosh, this will kind of give me an elevated, you know, view just for a second. And then maybe I can finally get something. And so I pop up there real fast. And God damn, like if this had been a Metallica concert, nobody would have said jack shit other than just like, oh, man, I wish I would have fucking thought of that. That's fucking smart. Or if this was some 19-year-old girl shooting in the corner, nobody would have said anything. But, oh, fuck. You know, we have to protect our princesses and our queens because everyone is out to get them, and especially fucking older white motherfuckers. Or it's just this weird, unfounded fucking thing. And if it is founded, it ain't from me, motherfuckers. I'll tell you that right now. Like, if someone's making you feel weird at these shows, it sure as fuck ain't me. All right? So anyway, I pop up for a second, try to get some footage. And some motherfucker starts filming me like, oh, fuck, I knew it. And I did hear later from other people that apparently one of the girls, speaking of Loose Symbol, like had like some stalker, and people were like on edge. And you know, and I'm sorry about that. I hate that that exists. And if I had known that, I really wouldn't have gone anywhere near it. And I really shouldn't have anyway. But again, it's just one of those tunnel vision things where I'm just like, I'm a professional. I've shot the building a million times. I just need to get some shit, and I've only got a few songs left to get it. That's it. Totally innocent. Not trying to fuck with anybody, not harassing anybody, not a threat, not a creep, just a professional trying to do their job. That's it. Yep. All right. So I pop up, and I guess, you know, like I said, I'm the only person in the fucking world that hit the record button. Or rather didn't when they thought they did. Yeah, that's only happened to me. That's never happened to anybody else in the fucking world where they look down and go, oh, fuck, I thought I was recording and I wasn't. Yeah, and I know that's never happened to any of you out there. And I just shot for a couple of minutes and some motherfucker was filming me and was like, oh, fuck, I better stop this guy. Shit, fuck. And goes out into the yacht, to the lobby and grabs some fucking security guard who knew me and called me out by name and said, hey, some punk's tripping. Do you mind coming down? I was like, well, I was going to come down in 30 seconds anyway. So 30 seconds later, I would, if she hadn't come, I'd already would have been gone. We think I'm going to fucking hang out up there. And number two, like, fuck off, okay? Like, and then everybody started dogpiling. Somebody else was telling me, look, he's not even filming. What the fuck? Oh, my God. You fucking people, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? All right. Like there's nothing wrong. Your outrage culture, your Gen Z horse shit. Okay. I'm just like, oh fuck. It's everyone's out for a fucking nefarious agenda. No, that's not how it is. And here's my statement.
Howdy folks. Roy Turner here, host of This Is K-Pop. This is for all you orbital. I wouldn't know or care. I don't owe anybody anything, but something came up the other night that was very hurtful and upsetting, and I thought this would be an opportunity to set it straight. If you come for me, you better know what's going on. When you talk about protecting the performers, you're pushing a raw button with me. Our friend Dimebag Daryl Abbott was shot and murdered on stage in 2004 in Columbus, Ohio, on tour with a new band with his brother called Damage Plan. I've seen your worst nightmare come to life. And you can't imagine how traumatic it was. It was national, international news. Not only him, but three of our other friends. And this even remotely suggested I could somehow be like that crazy fuck in Columbus. You have no idea how profoundly offensive that is for me. You don't know me. I'm the owner of Tricky Kit Entertainment, production company and media outlet based here in Dallas, Texas. I have been doing this for almost 30 years. I have covered every Comic-Con major event from Prince to Metallica, Van Halen. I have toured all over the world. This is how I feed my family. The reason I have been able to do this for 30 years is because I pride myself on being a consummate professional. The internet at Artemis was not up to those standards. My stress responses were not professional, but there's only so much you can take. When someone's telling you to kill yourself over a 90-second video, you found out you orphaned two small children because I filmed in the corner for 90 seconds. Would that please you? Does your obsession for these people that you don't even know go that deep? I've been doing the podcast for almost 10, and we produce 9 monthly shows. It's been so rewarding. My kids love it. We're in the car. We're listening to K-pop. We got to cover twice out in Vegas earlier this year, and I met some of the nicest people giving me stickers they had made. Very punk rock, DIY. But at Artemis here in Dallas, so unbelievably toxic. To answer your questions, yes, I was there in a professional capacity. Mudhouse could blacklist you. I don't give two fucking shits. That would mean we're not no longer covering their artist. And I need all the help they can get. When Triple S was here, those shows were empty. Normally, I would get something like this. This is my DSLR camera. I would enter the photo pit and shoot 3 songs. K-pop doesn't do that. You've got young girls, women up there in short skirts dancing around. You don't want male or female, anybody, shooting them like this underneath them. So what they tend to do is they have their own photographers that they hire to tour with them. They trust to be on stage with them and be at stage level. All I get is a press ticket. Tickets were on your phones, right? I'm old school. I still get the paper tickets. I can prove to you from Artemis, see, all there's no price and it's comp. This was a complimentary ticket provided to me from the promoter, issued to the venue so that I could cover the show. I tried to get some original footage with my phone because I can't bring in my DSLR. There isn't a photographer alive that wouldn't tell you when they're trying to get the shot, they kind of become tunnel vision, right? This is one of those instances. I'm a tall guy, but it seemed like no matter what, all I could get was back of heads. And then we'd gotten it into the show, and I realized I haven't really gotten a lot of good footage. And like the last thing I want to be is a distraction. That's what I'm trying to not be. This is what it looked like. Just a little crawl space with 3 stairs. There was no stage access. And so what if there was? What am I going to do? Go running at one of these girls? What are you, crazy? The security guard called me out by name. I've shot in that building 100 times. If she'd come 30 seconds later, I would have already been gone. I hate to shatter your ego. I have 2 beautiful children. I was raised by my mom and 4 sisters. I'm married to the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my entire life, who happens to be behind the camera right now. So, babe, this is for all those dicks that were sending me all the hate the other night. Say hello.
Hi, dicks.
She calls it like she sees it. When I popped up, I made eye contact with Kim. And I was like, oh, shit, this is a distraction. And I wanted her to know that she was in a safe space. I went like this, and she smiled. I'll admit, if suddenly I'm performing and some head pops up, like, who, no matter who it was, but this face, I'd be like, who the fuck is this dude? I totally get that. And I have no problem taking the L on that one, because I have no problem admitting when I made a mistake. If that had been a 19-year-old girl shooting in the corner, nobody would have said, I guess I forgot to hit the video button. I'm the only one in the world that thought I was filming when I wasn't actually filming, right? Somebody online was like, weren't you seat hopping anyway? How the fuck would you know unless you were looking at me? Yeah, I was seat hopping because I'm trying to get the best angles. People were already looking at me. Why? Because I'm older? He couldn't be there for any other reason except for some nefarious agenda. It couldn't be I like the music and presentation, the dancing, choreography. That's on you. Is somebody making you feel uncomfortable? It sure as fuck ain't me. Anybody tries to lump me in with that crowd, you can fuck all the way off. Not a creep, not a threat. I am there to get great coverage for all of you. I'm there to enjoy the show. I'm there to support the girls. I buy their merch. I talk about them online. It's a lot of work to produce these shows. You should be celebrating somebody like me. You people pay these girls to high-five them. That is so fucking creepy. These weird transactions to get close to them. Don't normalize that. That's fucking weird. Older white dudes are just so entitled. Entitled? Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. I grew up in the middle of nowhere with nothing. I built all of this myself. A friend of mine informed me one of the Lucille girls is some sort of stalker, So everybody's on edge. If I had known that, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near. And I really should have anyway. You people are chirping at me from your mother's basement. You should be mad at Mod House. There were people that had their chests against the stage with their arms outreached towards the girls. Any one of these people could have been on that stage in 3 seconds. I'm 100 feet over here in the corner behind a wall of amps. There should be a barricade and 3 security guards.
At least there were metal detectors. When we covered a secret number, there was nothing.
Normally, towards by the end of the show, I maybe go grab a beer.
I can't do this at K-pop shows because none of you drink. The bar closes 10 minutes after. So have to get a beer at the beginning and nurse it. So yeah, I did have an alcoholic beverage in my hand. I'd been nursing it for a few hours. There was a guy in front of me. I know none of you know who the Melvins are, but the singer Buzz Osborne has really cool hairstyle, palm tree. The guy in front of me was looking back and he had that hairstyle. I thought it was cool as shit. So I go, bro, I love the hair, man. A 10 second exchange. But oh no, that guy was drunk and harassing my friend. Where does all this toxicity come from? You're afraid to talk to each other. I'm Southern, extroverted, outgoing, and friendly. So if you're some introverted, socially anxious, awkward weirdo, I don't give a fuck. There's some girl that goes to all the Luna stuff. She's got the money to do it, and she buys all this stuff. She brings to hand out to everybody. She sounds awesome to me. We should have her on the show. And that girl gets so much hatred. Why? A friend told me their friend was afraid to have her dad bring her to the show for fear that y'all were going to fuck with him. What kind of toxic culture have you guys created where a girl would be afraid to bring their father to a concert? What the fuck is molding? Do you know what molding is? Fuck off. Not a word. Not a word. Some bullshit you made up so you can police everybody. You won't be policing me. I saw some tough guys. You see me at a show and you still feel butthurt that I shot for 90 seconds in the corner behind a wall of amps? Well, I'll be waiting. But that's not what I want to happen. If you see me at a show, come say hi. I love meeting new people. I want everybody to have a good time and be safe. We shouldn't be afraid of each other. Don't be an ageist. Don't be a dick. Let's celebrate this thing we all enjoy called K-pop. I hope to see you at the shows. Cheers.
Okay. So now that we got that part out of the way, part two. So I went to my friend, the one that, again, that I actually met through the dysfunction of the Luna fucking psychos, and was like, man, these people are tripping, like, you know, and everything else. And instead of standing by me, now she's not quite my age, but she's not 19 or 22. I think she's like 40 something. Instead of standing by her friend that she knew was right, that has been shown her nothing but love and respect and has gone out of his way when he didn't have to include her and give her a platform and show her the best possible time, both times when she was here in town, along and then also with her husband, instead of saying, hey, you know, I mean, it was like the safest thing ever. But it was also kind of like, fuck off. It was like she chose the crazies over me. Instead of being a mature adult and saying, look, these people are fucking nuts. I know it because I'm in the Luna world. I see it all the fucking time. You know, you don't want to fucking deal with these culty fucking shitheads. Just, you know, just it'll blow over. You'll be fine. Let's just fucking, like, you know. Instead, she unfollows me, tells me to essentially quit my gig. I don't know how you're going to recover from this. And tells me she doesn't want to do the show anymore. And essentially wishes me the best. Like, I mean, like, she's not going to tell me to fuck off. And I have some other endeavors that she's aware of that she wished me the best on. But it was essentially, look, I've been kind of like, and she even told me that she fucking agreed with these fuckheads that were filming me until she realized it was me. That's fucked up, man. That is fucked up. You know, I'm a good person. and I've been nothing but good to this person. And instead, she drank the fucking Kool-Aid. So what that tells me, she's been one of these fucking crazies all along. She's just been better at hiding at it because she's older. You know what I mean? So when I had something to say about the fucking dysfunctional nature of the fandom, you know, I think she was worried about, like, I don't know, drawing the ire of disenchanting that. But she truly showed her true colors and was essentially, yeah, I am actually one of the fucking crazies and I agree with them and I don't want to do your show anymore. I don't want to be friends anymore. And I'm going to say something so that you don't get mad at me so we can kind of end on a thing, but you should fucking quit. And like, instead of standing tall on this and supporting me the way I always supported her. So that's fucking hurtful, man. But anyway, now we got all that bullshit out of the way. Let's talk about the actual fucking show. We'll be right back. All right. So again, Artemis. So essentially, like, they only have like one record. Like, it's called almost like Dallas, Dall. And it came out in May this year, May 31st, almost June. And, you know, they had a little single album that came out at the end of last year. And they've had a couple of singles and things like that. But this is really the coming out party, if you will, of Artemis. And so the album, like I mentioned, is called Dal, and it has 11 tracks on it, and they played almost the whole damn thing. I think they played the entire record except for one song, because they started with Air, and then went into, you know, they played Air, Birth, Butterfly Effect. I don't really know which one that they did not play. In fact, let's find that out, actually. Let's see here. Air, Birth. Let's see. Did they play URL? Let's see here. Okay, URL is the one that they did not play. I uncovered it. But anyway, so the first, you know, records, the first five were all from, of course, that record. And then we get into the solo, things with, you know, Hasul did Plastic Candy. Then they did Luna's Let Me In. They even did Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend. Heijin did Algorithm. And then it was a total Odd Eye Circle reunion with Je Ne Sais Quoi and Air Force One. And they did Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer, but I think that's actually a Bananarama cover that Taylor Swift did. I don't know why and then of course they did Luna's Stylish and Satellite, the crowd went crazy for, and then pretty much did the rest of the Dal record: Candy Crush, Air, Sparkle, Virtual Angel, and then Encored with Luna's So What. So 20 songs, that's very solid, man. And again, like I said, I thought the show was great. Kim Lip is a fucking star, man. I love her. And I think that it was just, you know, it was cool. I just felt like that there was a little bit more magic there with Odd Eye Circle. I just kind of, I preferred those songs and things like that. But we're actually going to play some music right now from there. Let's see here, because I think that there's three, how many, there's, well, golly, I think there's like five singles already: Birth, Flower Rhythm, Candy Crush, Air, and Virtual Angel. I can't fucking say that shit. So why don't we go and play Birth right now, and we'll be right back with more of This Is K-Pop. Again, you just heard Birth from Artemis, A-R-T-M-S. And you know what? Here's the thing, man. If I ever return to Luna Island, you know what? And I will. I'm not afraid of any of you. I'm not afraid of fucking anything. I did nothing wrong. Okay, well, how's this? I did do one thing wrong. I wanted to get a great shot, and I do feel like that by going up a couple of steps, I had kind of lost sight of my professionalism, and I w have no problem admitting to that mistake. But it was by no means designed to be harassment or overzealous or anything that I've been accused of or called out online. Okay? So if you see me at a show, say hello. I love meeting new people. I want us all to have a good time. But as I said in my statement, don't be an ageist. Don't be a dick. Don't be some fucking gatekeeper. All right? Because I'm coming, whether you like it or not. I'll see you next week.
Tricky Kid Radio is distributed by iHeartRadio and is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the Google Play Store. Subscribe for free on the iHeartRadio app or on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe to Tricky Kid TV on YouTube.com for a stunning visual look at all the fun we have here, plus exclusive content, short films, and more. Follow us on social media. Our Twitter handle, @TrickyKid2. Type Tricky Kid Radio Podcast on Facebook and DJ Tricky Kid on Instagram. Speaking of which, subscribe now to Roy Turner's alter ego DJ Tricky Kid's amazing Twitch channel at twitch.tv for retro gaming, exclusive DJ sets, as well as DJ instruction and live streaming of Tricky Kid Radio, where you, the audience, can participate and interact with our guests. Don't miss a single stream so you can be up to date on the latest on all things Tricky Kid. Subscribe now at twitch.tv/DJ Tricky Kid.